the imperfect prayer life, and the desire for communion with God. Probably one more after tonight, and then we'll launch into a brand new series, do something different. This is a subject that I don't know. I've rarely taught on. How much difference do our prayers actually make? I have two texts that rarely get studied on the subject of prayer, and I want to look at them for hopefully just a brief study. We've got an interview and a lot of different things. I want to look at Revelation 5, 6 to 10. Revelation 5, 6 to 10. And between, so here's John and his vision of the last things. But it's more than that. Between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns, with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. He's just talked about the seven churches and the Spirit of God in each one. There aren't seven spirits of God, but he's talking about what he sees, the Spirit in this church, the Spirit in that church, the Spirit in that church. See, he sees it in all seven situations, but he's seeing it in a picture. So he talks about the seven spirits. We know it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Everybody with me on that one? Verse 7. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders, 24 probably picturing the culmination of, well, I won't go, I'm not going to get into that. Don't start talking about Revelation now. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding 24, the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. He's showing a continuity between the two covenants, the new replacing the old. That's all I'm going to say about it. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp. Now, and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. What saints do you think he's talking about? And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. See, Jesus is the central figure of history. It all points to him. It's all about him. So he can open up the sealed scroll. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Okay, the thing I want to talk about primarily is the last part of verse 8, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense. What's in these bowls? The prayers of the saints are in these bowls, okay? Now this second text, Revelation 2, 8, 2 to 5. Revelation 8, 2 to 5. And then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer. And he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. And then the angel took the censer, remember this is mixed with the prayers of the saints, filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. here we sit in this church, and you've prayed for your son or your daughter to be saved, and they're no closer to Jesus than when you started praying 10 years ago. We've prayed for healing for people in this church in 2024, and they died. You prayed for a different job, and there you sit in the same old rut. You ask God to save your marriage, and your husband walked out on you. Are we okay with this? What's going on some of the times when we pray? What shall we do with all of those wonderful promises that we quote from our Bibles regarding prayer? I know those confusing questions aren't the whole story. I know God answers many, many prayers. We've heard testimony of dramatic, specific, undeniable answers to prayer, and we should always rejoice. But I do think there's something else. If you're going to have a foundation under all of your prayer life, something else we need to know, and these two texts from the last book in our Bibles give just one more aspect, one more strong, rugged, fully biblically developed theology on the practice of prayer and confidence in prayer. I mean, these two texts, like no others that I know of in the Bible, they take us into the final chapter on why all prayer matters and all prayer counts and all prayer is important. These are kind of what I would call big picture texts. You won't likely stay long and diligent at prayer without understanding the framework in these two texts. Here are my thoughts. One, prayer is pleasing to the Lord in a very special sense. If I was redoing the notes, it would say, all prayer is pleasing to the Lord in a very special sense. I'm looking at that Revelation 5:8. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls. These are not just ceramic or wooden, they're golden. Golden bowls full of incense. But it's not just incense, which are the prayers of the saints. More than anything else, I take that to mean that prayers, all prayers, are precious to God. I don't just mean in the sense that he answers them. That's probably what makes prayer precious to us. But God finds the prayers of his people precious in themselves. The very act of praying is special to God. It's like fine incense, right, rising up before God. And my prayers, however I view them, feeble, fatigued, sometimes weak, strained, sometimes joyful, faith-filled, other times full of doubts and weakness, he keeps them. He keeps them. What's that about? Well, we may never know fully what it means, but there's no getting around the picture John sees in Revelation chapter 5. He sees prayers of God's people in golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, quote. And so even a casual reading of the Old Testament reveals the dozens of commands of God regarding the people properly mixing and burning incense before the Lord. If you're working your way through Leviticus, and how the incense has to be made and what the ingredients have to be and how it's to be lit and how it's to be offered. It's so, so important. Why is all that in there? It's because of this. Psalm 141:2. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you. And, by the way, not written by a charismatic, and the lifting up of my hands. Yeah, church, it's in the book. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. My prayer is incense, and with prayer, the lifting of my hands. He seems to say they go together. Don't miss this. The value of incense is the fragrance to the one receiving it. Incense rises to God. He loves it. God loves to see the prayers of his people. I won't pray long without the foundational conviction that God always delights in my prayer offered to him. However I value it, he delights in it. You won't always sense this as you bring your urgent need, when your prayers feel small compared to the size of the problem. When you pray, all you may see is the need of your loved one or the shortness of your supply. But while you are on your face, in the middle of whatever it is that's driving you to cry out to God, never forget that no prayer is wasted. Quite apart even from the answer to your prayer, the prayer itself is precious to God. Precious to God. How much does that matter to us, that the prayer is precious to God? Going to prayer groups. Maybe you've never spoken out once in a prayer group. That's okay. I'm not condemning you. I'm saying you need to understand that God waits. It's like incense, and there you are in your prayer group, and maybe for the very first time, and nobody else thinks it's all that significant, and God goes, oh, there it is. There it is, that prayer. Keeps it in a big gold bowl. Something else, though. Something else. Point number two. John sees there's a day coming when all the bowls of those prayers will be full. Look at Revelation 8, 3 to 5, and we've got to figure out the implication of this. 8, 3, and another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. And then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. So billions and billions of prayers have been prayed. We've seen answers to some, not yet to others. Some have been joyful. Some have been labored and dry feeling from our end of things. Some have been thankful. Some have been more complaint. Read the Psalms once in a while. Our first point was that all of these prayers are precious to God in themselves. No prayer is wasted. God values his people's prayer. So now we have to come to the point and say, so what happened to all those prayers? Where did they go? What about the ones that didn't even seem to be heard? Was there any value in those prayers? You just cannot be a thinking Christian without having your mind go there sometimes, whether you want it to or not. And the Bible welcomes and has a powerful answer to those questions. I prayed today for something that hasn't happened yet. Was that prayer just empty speech? Well, not according to our text. My prayer went into that golden bowl, but my prayer didn't fill it. Not yet. So here's what we see so far. Prayer is different from ordinary conversations that we have with each other. You talked with somebody, and I said, what did you say to them Wednesday, 4 years ago? Well, nobody knows. Conversations, unless they're sort of life-changing conversations. Conversations that we have, you remember them for a little while. Most of them won't go anywhere. They just disappear. Nobody remembers them. They're just gone. Our text says, not so when we talk to God. It's not the same. The words don't just evaporate in an unanswered mingling mess and you, who knows what happened. You forget all about it. John sees a day coming. I can't explain all of this to you, but I love what I see. He sees a day coming, a glorious day, when in this grand prophetic picture that we have, the prayers of all the saints collectively fills up all those bowls. No more will be prayed without those bowls being spilled over and thrown to the earth, 8:5. And the time of faith will become a time of glorious sight when everything is finally changed. I hope you can see it. John sees this specific time. I don't know who it'll be. We don't know when it'll be. When the very last prayer those bowls can hold and all the contents of those bowls, all those prayers, those longings in faith, those treasured up but maybe not fully yet answered prayers of all God's people will be thrown down to the earth in a mighty gesture that will reshape everything about our existence. But it's not just going to happen because of good luck. It's going to come through the prayers of all the people. God will change the earth. Most of us agree that's so. What isn't usually remembered is he will change the earth using the collected prayers of all his people. Not one of them was wasted. An angel, it says, offers the prayers to the throne. So an angel takes prayers, words. And you picture a 7-year-old girl in a prayer group praying for mommy. And I don't know how much value you and I place on all those words. The text says an angel takes those words and offers them up to the Father. And they go into those bowls that will be poured out that will affect everything and change everything on the face of the earth. God will answer many of our prayers tonight. But in the bigger picture, this prayer time, the one we will have in this church, it will add weight to the collected prayers of God's people around the world, down through the centuries. Prayer is cumulative. It's piling up in those bowls. And not one of them, prayed by a small child, an aging senior, a frustrated parent, a confused student, not one of them is ever a waste of time. Every one of them is kept to be part of the grand victory of God. So when we go into prayer groups, some people like prayer groups, some people hate prayer groups. That's okay. Some people are minglers and some people aren't. I get it. But what has to override that? Somehow the conviction has to settle on all of our hearts when you group up with very ordinary people just like you that God collects all those things in a gold bowl, and they're precious to him. God wants to hear you pray. He says so right in his word.